This podcast is brought to you by Soapbox. Start your own podcast today at www.soapbox.host.
Welcome to Season 1, Episode 23 of Wednesday at 9 p.m. Tonight, we will find out about how the government sponsored pirates, how New Jersey may be home to a famous pirate's treasure, and how two supernatural beings became unlikely friends. This is Wednesday at 9 p.m.
Very interesting. Very interesting setup, Aaron.
So the big, Bigfoot and the Jersey Devil are hanging out.
Hey, I didn't say that because it's not true.
You don't know that.
A pig lady and the Jersey Devil.
There you go.
No. It's a different New Jersey legend that you guys will soon find out. So this is the first episode of the new year. So congrats to us. We got through two calendar years of recording. And I think we have some shout outs for our listeners. First up is to Troy from Nick. And I think Nick wanted to tell Troy, thanks for that, pun with the pirates.
Correct.
And I have a shout out, to my fiance Fallon, who hasn't been listening, but I'm sure one day she'll get around to hearing all these shout outs. Do you guys have shout outs or announcements?
Shout out to my girlfriend Maddie and my mother, who maybe we'll have her do a whole like guest episode instead of just a little appearance like we did with the Halloween special.
That'd be great. Shout out to my girlfriend Sarah. That's all.
Wow.
All right. Are you ready, Aaron?
Aye, Captain. So, what do you guys know about what New Jersey had to do with 17th and 18th century pirate lore?
Believe it or not, not a lot.
A whole lot of nothing.
Interesting. So, I'm going to learn you a thing or two, because it turns out New Jersey actually had quite a bit of pirate lore to it. Wow. So, I'm just going to give some brief examples of some things. A brief disclaimer, this is going to be less supernatural, except towards the end, but I still thought it was a very interesting story, so I wanted to come on and tell it. So, there are spots in the water between Sandy Hook and New York City. You guys kind of have a rough idea. I'm assuming you two do. But for those listening that may not, there's locations in the show notes for what I'm describing. But between these waters, there was plenty of French pirates going back and forth. The resource that I got this from was weirdnj.com.
A classic.
Yes, a classic. Go check them out. They have a lot of cool stuff. And they actually described it as they were infested with French pirates.
Damn. So, the worst kind, too.
I know. French pirates come up a decent amount in this story.
Unfortunate.
Can't trust them. Well,
maybe fortunate. And there's also Blackbeard. He was supposedly responsible for raiding parts of what is now Middletown. I don't know that I have that location in the list, but another pirate in New Jersey, and supposedly also Captain Morgan made frequent visits to New Jersey.
That sounds familiar, that name.
Yes, it does. Not the alcohol, though I'm sure quite a bit of alcohol was consumed in New Jersey.
That might be it.
But yeah, supposedly Captain Morgan, who I didn't really extensively research, but sounds pretty cool, made frequent stops to New Jersey. So overall, New Jersey has quite a rich pirate background. So before I get into the pirate in question today, I would like to ask you guys a question, given that you're experts in 17th and 18th century pirate lore.
I'd like to think so.
So why were pirates so successful at pirating?
Wait, is this like joke setup or?
No, this is a serious question.
Good that you asked, though.
Because something their true love be the sea. No? So,
no.
Because Sea of Thieves.
No.
So why were they also successful?
Good game.
Is it because...
Yes, why were they successful?
I don't know if this is the right technical term, because I think pirates mean that they weren't sanctioned by the government, but were they sanctioned by the government? Like, they were allowed to raid enemies?
Some were, but actually more often than not, there were businessmen and ship owners and some politicians that bribed pirates or did business with the pirates in return for, you know, some protection of, hey, we'll look the other way if you go get us some spices. We don't care how you got them, just give them to us.
And we'll
look the other way. So you were on the right track for me. So this made a lot of people very wealthy, pirates and non-pirates, because in the pre-stock market, the, I guess, top way to invest was in pirates. So you sponsor, you sponsor a pirate to go on a mission or to take down competing countries or, you know, competing companies or whatever you have you. And people would actually sponsor these journeys or flip stolen pirate goods for like a profit. So like they would say, hey, we'll give you 50 pounds to get this spice, and then they go and turn it around and sell it for 100, make a profit.
Smart. So,
capitalism was alive and well in the 17th century.
That just sounds like mercantilism, but
okay, I don't know all these economic terms, Nick.
But me neither.
I'm pretty sure.
You know what's ridiculous?
Don't teach.
I know capitalism. That? Okay, communism bad.
USA. All these fun ways to make money. They're all illegal now. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah. What the heck?
Back in the old days, you can get away with insider trading. It was just called doing business. You do pirate stuff.
I thought you meant being a pirate.
That too, but like, it's ridiculous.
I mean, there's probably still some pirates, like the Somalian pirates, I think.
Aren't there pirates right now in like some sea in the Middle East causing problems?
That's probably. The Houthi?
Yeah, the Houthi.
I don't think they're pirates.
I think they are. But that's all.
All right. But yeah, this was a very get-rich-quick scheme for both pirates and politicians. And one pirate that actually did this quite well was Captain Kidd.
Was he? How old was he?
Really, Frank? Yes, Captain Kidd. He actually, funny enough, grew up in New York City, despite being born in Scotland.
Really? You never think of that, right? Like,
Frank, you could have been a pirate.
And another life, maybe.
Yeah, and what I also found interesting is that New York City was a thing for like a while.
Yeah.
Like, there was New Amsterdam before it was New York City. But I saw that he grew up in like the mid to late 1600s. And I'm like, oh, they mean like where New York City once was. No, they mean New York City.
Like Manhattan? Like that island or?
I don't exactly know. They just said New York City.
Presumably, yeah.
Where do Scottish people in New York City live?
Well, I mean, it was one of the most populated areas of modern day New York City back then. Like the Bronx was not densely populated for many, many decades and centuries. So probably Manhattan, if not Brooklyn or Queens.
They called it Little Glasgow.
Imagine. Yeah.
So, yeah, he grew up in New York City. And he grew to wealth commanding a privateer ship in the Caribbean on a pretty successful mission. Now, do you guys know what a privateer ship is?
That's the one that's sanctioned by the government, right?
Yes, it is.
I knew it.
So a privateer ship is a government-sanctioned ship used for piracy against enemy countries. So,
wow.
For example, you know, the king might come up to you and say, hey, I'm going to pay you to attack other ships not associated with this government. But like, for example, the King of England, as we'll see in a little bit, actually told Captain Kidd, hey, can you go attack some French ships?
Yeah.
That's crazy. But, that's the good old days.
Yeah, when you could just pay people off to do your evil bidding.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's so sad you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I think it's crazy that none of that happens today. Anyway, before I get too ahead of myself here, because he had this very successful mission, this got him in with high society politics, and he actually got a wealthy widowed wife. So she was a widow, and then he married her from Monmouth County, New Jersey, at one time. I don't think I got a name from her, but damn, she doesn't really appear in the rest of the story.
Unnamed.
So. Bertha.
Wow. No, probably not.
Why not?
I feel like Bertha wasn't really a common name back then.
Jezebel.
Especially for the English. I would think more like an Elizabeth or a Mary would be a safe bet.
Yeah, but that's so.
Oh, my bad. Hey, Captain Kidd, your wife's name was lame.
See?
From Nick.
To Troy.
He's going to haunt Troy. You. Hey, be careful.
I'll fight a pirate.
Pirate ghost?
A ghost, yeah. Pirate?
I know about demon pirates. I'm fine. You know,
that might be an episode in and of itself. Like demon pirate.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah, he got married. He was doing good. He was in with the high society and he sought some larger goals. So he wanted to join the Royal Navy commanding ships. So he went to England in 1695. To go, you know, apply for the job. And when he got there, he was disappointed to find out that he did not get the job. So, you know, we feel bad that we have to wait a couple weeks or we don't even ever hear back from employers about job opportunities. But he traveled over the seas for them to be like, nah, that's all right.
That's rough.
Yeah. But, you know, down on his luck, it did not discourage him because he went and talked to the many well-off political figures of England at the time. And, you know, they could get behind him. They saw what he did in the Caribbean. And so they backed him and told the king, hey, this guy's your guy. Get him a privateering license. And eventually the King of England did get him a privateering license for the purpose of capturing and seizing French and pirate ships to and then bringing the treasure back to the king and those who backed him.
Wow.
So sounds like a pretty good gig. Not the Navy, but still pretty good.
Not the Navy.
Exactly.
I guess in a good way. You know.
So with this new mission in mind, he set sail and went towards New York City. And in May of the next year, he arrived in New York City. And he set sail on the Adventure Galley, which was his ship that was granted by the king. And unfortunately, his journey started off pretty rough because he lost most of his crew when the British Navy was like, hey, we need those men for a warship. So he didn't really have any crew.
Rip.
So, when he got to New York City, he had to pivot and get a new crew. Now, the one drawback to this is he had to pay this new crew. Well, money was a little bit of a tight spot for Kidd because he promised 60% of the booty to his new crew. He also promised 60% to his backers. So, I'm no mathematician, but those numbers aren't quite adding.
We should ask Nick. Nick, can you crunch numbers on there?
Yeah. Can you crunch the numbers?
Yeah, I crunched the numbers. he is royally screwed.
Literally, is what royally, is. Right?
Yeah.
So, despite this debacle, he's decided to set sail for the Red Sea to pursue their mission. So, when they arrived in 1697 in the spring, took like a year to get there, by the way.
Wow.
Captain Kidd almost immediately forgot his mission. Or maybe not forgot, but neglected his mission. So when he got there, there were pirate ships. He saw them and he didn't do anything. Even so much as docked in the same port as them and did not even try to seize their ships. It wasn't like, oh, he tried, just couldn't get it done. No, he just didn't try.
Damn.
He did, though, try to hold true to his promise about attacking the French ships.
Yeah.
So that's at least something going for him. So, you know, the French got their... I probably shouldn't just keep bashing the French, but...
No, you should. They get their comeuppance.
But he gave them what they deserve. Let's say.
Whoa.
But I digress. So the crew was not happy that all these ships, all these pirate ships with tons of wealth on them, just passed them by and Kidd didn't even do a thing. So what do?
Mutiny.
Exactly. Mutiny. So.
Ungrateful.
I know. They start a mutiny, and it was largely unsuccessful because during the scuffle, Captain Kidd kind of asserted his dominance and killed one of the gunners by the name of William Moore by hitting him in the head with a bucket.
I was going to say, just hitting him in the head? Wow, he's pretty strong.
With a bucket.
Well, yeah, I know that now.
Still.
I almost feel like it would have been better to hit with his fists, but...
Death by bucket.
Wait, what was that bucket used for? You gotta think. Ew.
It was probably like a spittoon bucket.
Damn.
Death by bucket. Or for bailing out water. But yeah, William Moore was killed by Kidd.
He was no more.
So, yeah. So, yes, Frank, I got the joke. So after this, mutiny attempts stopped because they're like, okay, this isn't good. He just outright killed one of our gunners.
He'd walk around with a bucket in hand.
Yeah, he'd just clang around the bucket and be like, better get back to work. So, although the mutiny stopped, Kidd did not. His, quote, I call it a rampage, but it's more so like a change in demeanor. He decided, you know, hey, these pirate ships, we could take them on. Hey, any ship that comes within range, we could take them. So Kidd began to attack ships regardless of the country and regardless of whether or not they were pirates. So he probably didn't care too much about like the smaller ships, but if there was a wealthy ship that came in, he was taking it. So kind of went a little bit rogue on the privateering license.
I wonder, how does that actually work? Like, what does that mean, he attacks ships? Is it that they, like, they board the ships, they kill or subjugate everyone, they take all the stuff, and then, like, and then what, you know?
Well, they probably destroyed quite a few ships.
Destroy the ships? Like, why? What do they do with all the people? Do they kill everyone? Do they enslave people? Like, what?
I would imagine sometimes they scuttle the ships.
What happens to all the people, like the crew?
Well, they either are forced to join or are killed. So, they didn't get into specifics about this per se, but they did talk about one specific ship in which Kidd kind of wrote himself into pirate history. So, he captured a ship by, and I'm going to butcher this name, I think it's the Cayda Merchant, which was an incredibly wealthy Indian ship. With plenty of silk, guns, spices, and gold.
The motherlode.
Exactly.
The big booty, if you will.
Yeah. He got the big booty. So with his big booty, he distributed it to his crew. And then he decided to scuttle the adventure galley that he was given from the King of England.
Oh.
And take the... He took the upgrade of the Cato Merchant.
Yo.
So that's like probably GTA. One thing that they did. Yeah, exactly. You just like keep upgrading until you get the best ship.
Wait, that's,
this was like...
That's still Grand Theft...
Aqua.
Aqua. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. GTA, if you're listening, we're going to make a spin-off series.
GTA 7. So.
GTA 7 sailing the seven seas. Oh my God.
That's actually...
All right. Rockstar, this is copyrighted. We have actually taken the rights to this. Sorry.
Honestly.
Rockstar, you don't have rights anymore.
You can go pirate. Yeah.
So he scuttled his previous ship and took command of the Cato Merchant, sailing to the Caribbean. And when he got to the Caribbean, he learned that he was denounced as a pirate and there was a bounty on his head by the King of England. So he's got
his buddy?
The King of England, the one that sponsored him to only kill French ships and pirate ships. Yeah, he was a little bit upset.
He's upset. That
all of a sudden, he's just taking down massive Indian ships, which probably at the time, I think India may have been part of like the British Empire. I don't know. History is a little rough for me, but if someone wants to correct me, leave it in the comments on the website or wherever we get our podcasts. Is that correct, Frank?
It was 1858.
Oh.
But, and this was what, 1700s? This like was early?
Like early 1700s.
So, no.
They probably, what was India doing back then?
They, are you racist?
I know they had their own India kingdoms. Doing? I know. They had... The Dutch Republic, England, France, Denmark, Norway all established trading posts in India in the early 17th century. So that was in the 1600s. So yeah, they had a presence. They definitely had like a big trading presence.
Yeah, so they really... India was a big, I guess, shareholder for them. So needless to say, the King of England was less than pleased. So the heat was starting to get the kid. So he decided... Okay, let's go a little bit more on the down low. So he scuttles the Cato Merchant, gets a small sloop ship by the name of the San Antonio, and heads north to Boston with a small crew. So, en route to Boston, where did he stop? That's right, New Jersey. Several different spots. One of the most well-known spots would be Raritan Bay, which is off the coast of Monmouth County, which may or may not be in the show notes.
Certainly will be
in the show notes. So he stopped there for repairs, for rest, just to kind of weather any storms or what have you. And so while he was in New Jersey, he decided, hey, I need to get the king and everyone off my case. Let's try and bribe some people to, you know, get my safety to Boston. And so he paid people off and he thought, you know, all right, I should be good. So then he decided, let's go to Boston now that I'm safe. And when he arrived to Boston, he was promptly arrested by the new governor and was imprisoned.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. But this was not the end of Captain Kidd, because as he was arrested, he was claiming that he had hidden a treasure worth £40,000, which I don't know what that equates to in today's money, but probably several million dollars.
I don't think there will be, judging by what I did in one of my episodes, because it was such a long time ago, the metric may not be like... not valid, but trustworthy. Might be a little,
yeah. So
hand wavy.
Tribute tens of millions, though. I'm sure
they're probably a lot.
Yeah. So somebody on the Weird New Jersey estimated that the 20,000 pounds would be like more than a million. So okay. Several million dollars. Yep. And he's like, yeah, I just have this hidden somewhere. But rumors had it that he had more like 400,000. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not, but people were saying 400,000. The English only ever recovered about 10,000 of it in the early 1700s, which is still pretty big. Like, that's probably a half a million to $1 million.
Wow.
All right to the king.
Yep. So, and the brokers, I believe, or the backers.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Yeah. So Captain Kidd was given a quick and limited trial just to kind of move things along quickly, and was convicted of the murder of William Moore and was also convicted of piracy. And so his sentence was that he would be publicly hanged.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So up until his death, he kept swearing he was innocent, which probably wasn't. I feel like the evidence was kind of stacked against him, but maybe he was innocent.
Carried that bucket around. Didn't help him, I'm sure.
But yeah, the bloodied bucket.
Yeah, with the dent.
Yeah. But he promised people that he would give them his treasure and give it to the backers if they would help release him and give him a ship and kind of like let him go free. So he was trying to bribe them to, you know, drop charges.
Maybe he was addicted to be a pirate. He was like, come on. Well, I just need a ship.
Just give me a ship, man. One more ship.
Well, I'll get into what his ambitions may or may not have been later, but could be that he wanted to keep continuing piracy, or maybe he just wanted to get away from everything and just enjoy the rest of his life in solitude. Needless to say, nobody backed him. So he was hanged, and his body was covered in tar, bound with chains, and hung over the Thames River in London as a warning to other pirates.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
And he would his body would remain there until everything rotted away, like whatever they used to like keep him there rotted away. So yeah, that's the story of the life of Captain Kidd, in short. Now let's talk a little bit about the treasure hunt. But before we get into that, any questions, comments, thoughts about crazy life of Captain Kidd?
Should we go be pirates?
I mean, sounds like we need to go ask Donnie T and Joey B, hey, can you pay us to go take down the French Navy?
I'm sure the two of us, or three of us. We need one more crew member, though. Who are we tapping for it? Ryan.
It's a good question.
Ryan, but the skeleton.
Ryan the skeleton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
would be a good.
That'd be crazy.
True. If you want to become our fourth pirate crew member, make sure to listen and subscribe and tell all your friends. and we'll keep an eye, and whoever has the most activity will be our fourth pirate.
Honestly.
So.
And I saw that
there you go.
Raritan Bay in Jersey is right. It's straddling Jersey and New York. It's actually right. You could swim to the southernmost point of Staten Island. It's like right there.
Yes, it's kind of close to Sandy Hook.
Yeah, look at that.
So, yeah, he that was one of the famous spots that he anchored, but there were other spots as well.
Staten Island, never forget.
Yeah, and probably Long Island too.
It is Long Island.
Yeah.
Are you saying he also stopped there?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, well, I'll get into that in a little bit.
Got it.
But anything from you, Nick, other than we should become pirates?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's tragic how he died. He didn't live a very, he didn't show any remorse for anything he did.
Yeah.
He was just like, I'm innocent, I swear. A bunch of people say kill someone.
Also, Also, let me pay you off so that I can prove I'm innocent.
Yeah, like fun, like sound like a really fun guy, right? Like you'd probably want to have some grog with him, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
But then you leave after that.
Yeah. Don't join his crew.
No.
I believe a few of them also got hanged.
Oh, good.
So I believe it was his crew that sold him out. Like, hey, here's where he's hiding.
Oh.
So in exchange for their lives. So I think that's a pretty good compromise.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I guess we'll get into the treasure of Captain Kidd, because there's 40,000 pounds or maybe 400,000 pounds missing somewhere.
Still.
So, well, there was some found, I think, in the 17th, 18th century on Gardner's Island off the coast of Long Island. There's 20,000 pounds found.
Whoa.
So, yeah, probably well over $1 million found. I don't know if you know where Gardner's Island is. Maybe Sarah would.
I'm going to quick look it up, though.
Yeah, I did not look up the Long Island stuff because
it's wow.
And that's gross.
Gardner's Island is a little standalone island. Pretty much if you go all the way to the end of Long Island and then further into the water.
Off past Montauk.
It's
Not quite as far as Montauk.
It's tech because Long Island like kind of splits at the end like a fishtail. It's right. Like in between the fishtail, the very, very, very tip.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't even know that was a little island there. It literally looks like, if you look at the map, it looks like a place you would land and like bury treasure on. Not going to lie.
Yeah. And he did exactly that.
Wow.
But obviously 20,000 pounds is not 40,000 pounds, nor is it 400,000 pounds. So there's still some coin missing and people are unsure of where it is exactly. And I'm honestly surprised it hasn't been found yet with all the technology we have.
But
then again, you look at shows like The Curse of Oak Island and they spend 7 seasons to find one piece of gold.
Is that true?
I have no idea.
Oh, because I believe that.
But like, it'll take an entire season for them to make like one breakthrough, and it's not even like the mother lode. It's just like, oh yeah, we found this old petrified wood from the 15th century. And it's like, whoa, that's cool. Anyway.
In the money pit?
In the money pit. I don't know the specifics, but I think there was another place they said called Money Island.
Money? There's treasure on Money Island.
Yeah. Believe it or not. They go into more detail on Weird NJ, so highly recommend reading all that if you're interested about the treasure hunt itself. But I'm just kind of going over some possible New Jersey locations. One suggested spot is maybe Cape May, which is a spot where a lot of pirates stopped because of it was a source of fresh water, which was a pretty big commodity.
Interesting.
For pirates.
Interesting. And that's okay, now that's at the southernmost tip of Jersey, looks like.
Yes. A lot of the locations are towards the southern part of Jersey.
Gotcha.
And another spot very close to it probably is Tom's River, which offered protection from the rough ocean environment. So like there was a storm coming in, you just pull off into the river, wade out the storm, you know? So could it be that he buried treasure there? Another is Sandy Hook, which is towards the north of Jersey. So could be that he buried stuff there. Especially since he anchored in Raritan Bay, which is right next to Sandy Hook.
I
mean, come on, Sandy Hook just sounds like...
It does sound like a pirate.
Sounds like a pirate place.
I mean, can you imagine, though, like, the psychology of that? Like, having a huge treasure, you know, life-changing amount of money, and not being able to just, like, deposit it in a fake virtual bank account and know it's going to be safe.
An offshore account.
Yeah, but like literally having to go offshore and put it in the ground and be like, yep. I hope no one finds this. I hope or I remember I where this I, is.
Yeah, exactly.
That is so crazy.
It was kind of like a nest egg for them of like, hey, if I ever get into trouble, I know I can go back here and start over.
I wonder what the percentage is. Like, what was the likelihood of people who, like pirates who went out and buried treasure? What percentage of them actually ever recovered that treasure?
Right? 0.1.
Like, is it really small? Is it really high? I guess we wouldn't know because they're not going to be like announcing, I found my buried treasure, everyone.
Hey guys, I found it. Don't worry.
I paid a lot of money and I now have it on me. But
come here.
And I'm at this location where I buried it.
Here are my coordinates.
I couldn't find it all though. Yeah, right. Like, wow, that's just such a different. I actually cannot imagine living in that time period or having to do that.
Yeah, you'd have to use like physical currency. Gross. Ew. Yeah.
And no, even more physical currency, not even just like fake paper, right? Like,
true.
You can't just put it on Venmo or put it in your one account.
Whoa. That's basically piracy.
I mean,
I don't think Frank should comment at this time.
Until the lawsuit is over, I cannot comment.
The lawsuit?
I've embezzled $10 trillion from my employer.
So you hear that? There's going to be a loud spike.
I buried the bitcoins audio on Raritan Bay.
Oh my god.
Whoever
a bunch of computers.
Yeah, whoever finds it can get 120% of my booty.
All right. So those are the most probable locations for the treasure. But I think one of the best stories for where the treasure may be is a love story, potentially with spooky repercussions. So, in the waters of Great Bay, Grassy Bay, Reeds Bay, and Little Bay, all near the edge of the Pine Barrens, actually.
Uh-oh.
Towards the south part of New Jersey. They're said to be the favorite haunting ground of Captain Kidd. Now, why would that be? Because I didn't mention anything about these areas.
No, you didn't.
So, legend has it that while Captain Kidd was repairing his ship on his final voyage, he met a farm girl named Amanda from Barnegat, New Jersey, which is also in the Pine Barrens. And they fell in love, and he allegedly planned to give up his pirating life and become a coastal fisherman.
Aww.
So, probably what happened was he needed a savings account for this endeavor of his, so he buried a vast amount of treasure somewhere in and around Oyster Creek, which is kind of in the same general area. And he stowed it away and hoped for a return back here so that he could start his life anew. I don't know what happened to his wife, but I'm assuming they parted ways after he became a pirate and, you know,
killed someone with a bucket.
Yeah, probably did not bode well for their marriage.
No.
And unfortunately, this love story between Amanda and Captain Kidd also did not have a happy ending because Kidd was sold out by his crew. And so they finally caught up with him and he had to sail away for his life from New Jersey to Boston.
Unbelievable.
So there's speculation as to what happened to Amanda, but supposedly she vanished into the Pine Barrens, never to be heard from again. It's unknown if she ever found Captain Kidd's treasure or if it's still there to this day. So.
Oh.
But what we do know or claim to know is that there are accounts of ghostly figures that roam the Pine Barrens and the surrounding beaches and bays that seem awfully familiar. So perhaps they are Amanda and Captain Kidd trying to find themselves in the afterlife so they can finally be reunited. Wouldn't that be sweet?
Or they're trying to find the treasure.
Or maybe it's Captain Kidd and or his crew searching for the treasure, even in the afterlife.
And his ghost girlfriend is nagging him, saying, come on, come on, let's go. You're not going to find it. And he's like, shut up. I'm going to find it. Like ghost shovel.
What would the ghosts do with the treasure, even if they did find it? Like, would he just be at peace that nobody found it?
Yeah, he would finally go and rest.
Well, do you want a serious answer? Or do you...
Well, I'm almost kind of imagining like they got in an argument and they're like, you know, we're never even going to touch the savings account. You're never going to come back. And then they'll be like, see, I came back and it's right here. I told you I buried it. But maybe they just are trying to find each other. What do you guys think? I know I'm not giving you much, but what's your crazy theory?
I think when people die and they have very, very strong attachments to things in life, especially material things, sometimes they don't pass on, and their earthly attachments keep them on this plane of existence. And maybe that explains ghosts. So for a pirate who clearly was obsessed with the booty and the pirating lifestyle, maybe when his time came and he was hanged, he couldn't let go from this life. And so he roams all the places where his gold might still be hidden and never will find rest, which means wherever the ghost goes, that's where you should dig.
True.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right?
All right. So it sounds like we need to do a paranormal investigation, try and find Captain Kidd, and then go treasure hunting.
Yeah.
In the Pine Barrens, part 2.
In the Pine Barrens.
Wait, okay, what if we could split this up? One person tries to find Captain Kidd, and then after that, one person deals with the treasure hunting, and then while that's happening, someone's hunting the Jersey Devil with Napoleon's brother's ghost.
Joseph, right?
I think so.
And then I'll look for a black-eyed kid
in
the Pine Barrens.
All right.
I mean, there's a lot of other legends in the Pine Barrens. I was going to do probably multiple this episode, but Captain Kidd caught my interest because he's in and around the Pine Barrens. But I can maybe do another episode, like a part 3 of the Pine Barrens.
Oh,
Where we talk about some of the smaller legends.
Well, it's certainly near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
Same.
Nick, what are your theories? Who do you think's actually there?
I think all of this is bogus in the sense that none of the theories are correct. She obviously disappeared into the Pine Barrens, and that's Mother Lead. She gave birth to the Jersey Devil.
Does that timeline line up?
I don't think so.
Wait, when was that?
Actually, it might. When was...
1735 is when she supposedly gave birth.
That's not that far off.
It's not crazy.
Yeah, that's not unheard of, I guess.
The records could just be off by a few decades.
Yeah, true.
I don't know when Captain Kidd died.
Oh, yeah, true. Good point.
1701. So. It could happen.
Could happen. We'd be pushing it, but.
You remember. Women had children very early on.
Like, yeah, but they still kept having a lot.
Yes, I know. So, like, even if the woman was, like, 25, she could be on her 13th kid. So,
also, you know, dates back then, you know, they just estimated, right? Like, 1701, 1735, same thing.
Yeah. Well, that's when Captain Kidd died. Doesn't mean when Amanda died.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, actually, so that theory makes total sense.
All right, there it is.
Confirmed.
All right.
That's my theory.
I'm going to leave you guys with another funny short story, or short quip, I guess, is that there are several accounts from the 17th and 18th century of a headless ghost of Captain Kidd and the Jersey Devil walking along the beach together.
No way.
Yeah. Yes, let's I joke go. You not. I think one of the sources I have, the AtlanticCounty.org website, if you look about the third paragraph under citing the devil, it says, the infamous Captain Kidd is reputed to have buried treasure in Barnegat Bay. Legend has it he beheaded one of his men to guard forever his buried treasure. Counts claim the headless pirate and the Jersey Devil became friends. They were seen in the evening walking along the Atlantic and in nearby marshlands.
Wow. That's
good. So that's kind of why I told this story, is because I thought it tied in a lot with the Pine Barrens. Didn't actually, but I was in too deep.
That certainly does.
Yeah, so not only did the Jersey Devil get born from Captain Kidd's girlfriend, but they were best pals.
Wow. So the account is that he chopped off his one of his crewmen's heads. So this head, then he placed the head where the treasure was to watch the treasure?
Or I guess in the general vicinity or something. I don't get the logic in that one, but let's Mythbusters this. Nick, you busy on Thursday?
No.
All right. Frank, we're going down to the Pine Barrens. We're going to have Nick post-watch.
Perfect. We'll chop his head off.
Yep.
Perfect. Perfect. Wow. Right. What a great, that's a great anecdote.
Yeah. So that's all I really have about Captain Kidd. I could go deep into detail about like the treasure hunt and all that, but I didn't figure that was as interesting as some of the supernatural sightings. I know it wasn't too much, but I thought the story was pretty neat.
No, definitely. I really think there is something to people who have led such adventurous and exciting and exhilarating lives, and who are very much attached, obviously, to loot.
Like yourself.
Like myself. Oh, yes, yes. My
exhilarating life.
Very exhilarating. Lots of, I sit on a huge stockpile like a dragon in his den.
Oh, yeah.
So on a scale from Scrooge McDuck, the dragon in den, where you said,
wouldn't it be the same? Wouldn't it be on the same side?
Yeah, but who has more?
I don't know.
Captain Kidd. That's
Captain
right.
Kidd.
The Jersey Devil. No. Mrs. Leeds.
Yes.
True.
That's some good stuff. Good story.
Yeah. So, any parting comments, questions, concerns? Any teasers for the next episode?
No, it'll be a surprise. It'll be a surprise to you, and it'll be a surprise to me.
All right. That's how I like it. So, that's all for tonight's show. Remember to leave us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you tune in. If you enjoyed the show, or submit feedback at wednesday@9pm.com/... episodes, well, I guess it's 23, right? Because we didn't start the new season.
Yeah, just /23.
All right. That's wednesday@9pm.com, spelled out, no numbers, except the episode number. You'll also find the episode's write-up, images, location, and references listed there. If you wish to dig deeper, I highly encourage you do, especially weirdnewjersey.com.
Oh, yeah.
And tell your friends to tune in while you're at it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Wednesday at 9 p.m. And remember, stay inside tonight. Otherwise, you may be the third wheel to Captain Kidd.